summers as things start to wind down, our choir is preparing to sort of slow down for the summer. But Amy will be here. So Amy is going to put together a small group of people, any age, anybody who wants to provide music over the summer, perhaps in a small group, or if you're a soloist. We know there are singers out here who don't come to choir because it's a big commitment, but if you are interested in helping out with some music through the summer, we'd love to have you, any age, like I said, youth, and see Amy immediately following the service over the next couple of Sundays and just talk to her about that. So we'd appreciate you helping out with music this summer. Our scripture this morning is taken from the story of the beginning of the church, when the Spirit did blow through a room and wild and mysterious and wonderful and amazing things happened, to the point where people who were watching what was going on thought, those people are drunk. I don't know if we ever get that excited that people would come in and say, wow, what's going on with those folks? I hope so. I hope we do. But let's listen to the story this morning we hear from the book of Acts. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk. As you suppose, it's only 9 in the morning. I suppose you could be drunk at 9 in the morning, but they weren't. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." May God help us to take to heart and the Spirit interpret for us this holy word from our ancient scriptures today. So, as I said, it's Pentecost today, celebration of the church, the body of Christ, when it came into being. Last week, we did the ascension of Christ, and sort of that is the completion of the full circle of Jesus' birth and teachings and miracles and the Easter story of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection and ascension. Sort of encapsulates up until the ascension Christ story. Then we move into the birth of the church, and the rest of this year, right up until Advent, in fact, is called ordinary time, although it's anything but ordinary in the church, where we explore Jesus' teachings and life and its impact on us in the church. The Holy Spirit came into people's lives, and they came together as community, brought a new community, in fact, into being through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but I've always found the Holy Spirit to be a bit of a mysterious concept. And even as we read the scripture today, it's hard to comprehend what was taking place that day when it seemed like tongues of fire were licking off of people's heads and the wind was howling through this room, and who knows? But it created this body of Christ to go out into the world, and in effect, through that body, changed the world. Yet we have trouble grasping what it is or what it does. There is one thing, though, that I know for sure that the early church grasped about the Holy Spirit. And it was this. It was that God, through the Holy Spirit, somehow gave the believers particular spiritual gifts that allowed the church not only to come into being, but it allowed the church to go into the world and change it. Every Christian, every person who seeks to follow Jesus Christ is given at least one gift, if not more. These gifts were given that the church could not only grow, but be an active change agent in the world. And all believers, the early church, believed this strongly, were to exercise their spiritual gifts in the church. If they didn't, if they were missing gifts, then the church would not be healthy or whole. Like an orchestra missing various instruments. It doesn't sound full when you're missing those instruments in the orchestra. Not using your gift for the sake of God and for the sake of the church was considered unfaithful, because being a Christian for them automatically meant that you were expected to be part of the church. Your loyalty to God was your first duty once you became a Christian. Not using your gift dishonored God and the gift that had been given. We have somewhat neglected this sense of spiritual gifts and their importance to the church and its functioning in the United Church. We have delegated too much to professionals, to those who lead or stand up front or administer in the church or work for the church. We have given away the power of the Holy Spirit in our own lives to those people we think do it better. And it's not true. We need each and every one in the church who claims to follow Jesus to exercise their gifts in the church. Otherwise, we are not full and we are not whole. As Christians, we're meant to use our God-given gifts to make the church a strong, healthy body that serves the world. I, for sure, know I don't have all the gifts. I know for certain nobody here has all the gifts. And that's what makes a church great, because when we combine our gifts, we are a full body. We need all of these gifts to create the body of Christ. In your bulletin today, we have given you an insert gives you, does everybody have one? If you don't have one, I have extras. That tell you the spiritual gifts and a bit of a definition of each of the spiritual gifts. It's not a full definition by any means. There are in this list a few missing that you might find otherwise, some spiritual gifts, and it's on both sides. You find spiritual gifts, some that we don't focus on in the United Church so much, but other traditions do. Gifts like speaking in tongues or interpreting tongues or celibacy or exorcisms. We don't do that so much in the church. Not things that we believe are absolutely necessary for the building up of the church. And then what we've done with our spiritual gifts, if you see all these yellow pieces of paper around the outside of the sanctuary, we have those listings on these yellow sheets of paper all the way around, starting to my left, assisting and crafting, creativity, that go all the way around the church. What we're going to actually do this morning is I'm going to encourage you to take a look at this list for a moment or two, and pick out perhaps two or three of your gifts, spiritual gifts that have been given to you. And then once you've looked at that, and you maybe somebody who's with you can encourage you to sort of, if you can't pick them out for yourself, sometimes we experience this false humility where we don't want to say what we're great at. Let's skip that today and just say what we're great at. Humility is actually admitting what you're good at and what you're not good at and being open about it so that you can express it. We cannot express what we do not acknowledge in ourselves. So I'm going to encourage you to take a look at the list, pick out two or three gifts, but maybe pick out one that you think is a major gift for you, perhaps on the top. And then what I'm going to encourage you to do is go and find that particular gift on the walls. And maybe you will meet a few other people who have that gift. Sit down wherever that is. And I want you to discuss for about 5 minutes how you think that spiritual gift can be used to build up the church, to build up the body of Christ, how that can be used in the church. For those of you who are not comfortable in going and joining somebody in a group and discussing that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to encourage you still to pick your list. If you're sitting by somebody and you want to have that conversation just with somebody beside you, or you just want to sit and reflect yourself on what the spiritual gifts mean to the church and perhaps what your gifts are and how you offer those to the church. There are some who think, I've noticed that at a certain point in time in their life or in the church's life, they've done their bit. They're done. That's actually not how it works in the church. Once you've been given a gift, you have the gift. You exercise your gifts in whatever way you can. And some of us who may be getting older and don't have the energy anymore, we can exercise a gift of prayer or intercession for others. So take a look. I'm going to give you a moment to do that. And when you feel like it, go and find your gift or one of your gifts or your major gift on the wall and maybe have a little conversation with whoever joins you there. Alphabetical order. For healing. I know some of your gifts. I know some of your gifts. I know some of your gifts. Oh, am I texting it?
You know that thing.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
I said to my mom, I said, she goes, we said in the past, I said,
no, she does. Hospitality is your mom's. Yeah. Hospitality is one of your mom's, right? And she still does it. Yeah. And creativity, yeah. And leadership, yeah. And wisdom. Yeah. Yep, for sure. I'll go. Okay. What's yours? Teaching, yes.
Or creativity.
Yes.
Or discernment.
Yes. 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 Wisdom. Hospitality. Creativity. Yeah. Yeah. You have lots of them. You still do. They're never in the past. Never in the past. Hi.
Hi.
Do you have a gift?
I don't know.
Of course you do. Of course you do. I know you do. I think you have some of that.
Hi there.
How are you, sir?
Yeah, pretty good.
You have the gift of humor. Doesn't he?
For many years, he was a welcoming committee to our church.
Hospitality, then.
He used to be a...
Yes.
I made him a cake when we left.
Did you?
Welcome.
Yeah, that's nice. How are you? Good. Pick out your gifts. You all have them. You all have them. How are you?
This is what I was going to do a few weeks ago, and I took the bulletin home, and then there was no contact number on it. So
Do we have it? Oh, we do. We have it now. Okay, yeah. And Julie's here today, wherever she is.
She is.
Holy, I don't know what that big group is back there, but... Yeah, I will. Yeah, I'm going to go find that out.
And then they have healing.
Healing. Some people are healing. Where's Julie? Julie's over there. So there's somebody in the sort of the white top and somebody in a black white top. Julie's the one in the sheer. It's got the sheer over the top. And yeah. Yes. Yep. Yeah, a little longer hair, a little younger. Yeah, that's Julie. Yeah, check with Julie. Yeah, good. What? You're not over under your gifts.
I actually really haven't even ever concentrated. I just do what I like doing.
I know. That's
lots of them.
Lots of gifts over here.
Yes.
Did you figure them out?
Yes.
Good. You talked with them? Good. Good. What is this big crew over here? Hospitality. We have a lot of people with hospitality.
Yeah.
Is this a whole hospitality crew?
No, I think they're there. And these guys are justice.
Oh,
and
knowledge.
I'm standing alone. It's very tenuous, but...
You do. You actually, that is totally you. Yes, yes.
That's what I figured.
Yeah, that is you, for sure. And so some justice here. Oh, justice, yes. Have a real interest in that.
And they're talking up a storm, so it's
great. That's good. That's good. Making contacts about around justice, which is interesting, right?
Yeah, it is.
Where's your husband?
You know, he's sitting here. I told him to go to crafting.
He is crafting. Well, he's pretty close to it.
He is.
Yeah. Crafting and creativity. Yeah. Some people just don't like that kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, neither do I, but I wandered.
You wandered, whatever, got out of the seat for something to do.
Sometimes, you know,
but you totally are knowledge.
You're more conspicuous if you see sitting here.
There are a few who do that. It's true. It's true. How was your trip, too?
It was good. Good to see my mom. Yeah. And spent the week with her. And
That was great. She's doing well, but she misses us.
You feel that, eh?
Seven of us, you know, and they're there all the time, three or four of them, but she misses us
all
in our ways.
Yes, each of you.
It was very nice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just go a couple times a year, you know?
Yeah, and that's what I do, and that works, so it's good.
Good, I'm glad. Played lots of games.
Yes. That's all we do. Sometimes people come in, we have to finish before we can actually talk.
Yeah. We're going to finish our game. Can't visit before this game is done. That's good. Glad you could do it. You up there. Can I? What's your gift? All of them, yeah. I'm going to invite people to. I hear a lot of chatter and buzz going on, and I see people connecting and talking about their gifts, which is awesome. To do today was get to Joanne to bring her camera and take pictures of everybody at their spiritual gifts, so I knew what spiritual gifts people had, and so we could. So you're gonna kind of, she's here today, but kind of tap you on the shoulder and say, "Hey, you got this gift. That's great. How can we use it?" We are all called to use our gifts in God's kingdom work. And we don't all have the same gifts. I was talking at Winton earlier, and I said, you'd be surprised at some of the gifts I don't have. I just talked to somebody who, when I said, what's your gift? She said, all of them. No false humility there. I do not have definitely the gift of crafting. It's not mine, but many of you do. Lots were back in the hospitality quarter. I don't know how many of you are hospitality. I do not have the gift of hospitality. But I will come to your place if you are hospitable. I will come to your place. It is surprising, you know, some people, when you say this, I don't have the gift of evangelism. And a lot of ministers actually don't. They're teachers, preachers, that sort of thing. But there are evangelists in the congregation. And I do not have the gift of intercessory prayer, which surprises some people as well. It doesn't mean that because we don't number those among our gifts, we don't do them. It just means we have to work at them a little harder. And you will see at the bottom of each of the gifts, this does not mean, note, you know, that we do not have to pray for each other or care for each other or tend to each other or have mercy. We all have gifts, but we care for each other with the gifts we have. And one of the things that happens as well is we may get a little jealous of another person's gift because we don't have it. What we have to do is acknowledge our own gifts as unique and wonderful. The interesting thing about spiritual gifts is many can't identify their spiritual gifts because it's just something they do naturally. It's just something they do, and they think, it's not a gift. I just do it naturally. That means it is a gift. God has given to you to do naturally. There were a number of nurses in DeWitt, and they said, we have the gift of healing, and that's probably why they went into nursing, is because they have the gift of healing. And so that's what they do. Anybody want to share or have any insights on what they found out when they talked about their own gifts? Right. I will come. You will go and help them out. Yep. Thanks, Kim. Thanks.
See, one of my gifts is missing.
What is that?
Prayer.
It's there under intercessor. Oh. Intercession and prayer. Yeah. Anybody else want to share? It's kind of a big group today. The work of the Spirit is never complete in our world. The work of the Spirit compels us to learn who we are, what we're about, and to be about the work of God in the world. If we are missing our own gifts, we are not doing what we can for the work of the church, the body of Christ, in the world. So I encourage you to take that sheet home, to explore it a little further, and to say, what is it I do for the kingdom of God? What is it that the Spirit is doing in me? This mysterious Spirit, this wonderful, disturbing Spirit that works in me to say, I could be doing this. This is my work for the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Living, loving, mysterious God, you move among us as wind and fire, life and love, passion and spontaneity, breath and spirit. Forgive us for not living with the expectation that you will do something among us that will surprise us. We don't allow ourselves to dream big, expect the impossible, imagine that things could be different, and that maybe, just maybe, you expect us to be the ones to carry out your dream for the world. Challenge us, poke us, prod us, get us up off our complacent, comfortable perches, and lead us into exciting new places we never even imagined existed. Fill us with a desire that spurs us on to do the unimaginable, only because your Spirit fills us with hope for a future that could never be if we did it in our own strength. Use the gifts you have given us for the sake of your church, the body of Christ, and the world. Even when we are afraid, may we step out with courage to dare to do the impossible. Show us the way to right the wrongs that we see in the world, situations that ravage people and the earth. Help us to love justice and peace more than power and possessions. Where there's war and hunger and hopelessness, may we lead in ways that leave no doubt that we care. Help us to provide the resources necessary for healing and reconciliation. May we never be afraid to jump in wherever assistance is needed, trusting that you will care for us even in the most intractable situations and dangerous conditions. May your love and strength outweigh our fear and apathy when it comes to taking risks for the sake of improving someone's life or making the world a better place. We pray especially this morning for those struggling to come to terms with loss. Loss of homes and jobs. Loss of hope. Loss of pets. Loss of dreams due to the fire in Fort McMurray. for those struggling with the loss of someone dearly loved, for the loss of health, physical or mental, loss of hope or dreams or relationships. In the grief that we experience through our loss, O Lord, bring comfort. Embrace those who need strength and healing today and let them rest in you. For those in situations that seem insurmountable, give them hope for new possibilities. We think of those in war-torn parts of the world, those who face extreme poverty, those who experience violence on a daily basis, those who cannot find work. Please make a way where there seems to be no way. We think of those we love who are hurting today. May we trust more and worry less, surrendering to you what we are unable to do for others. We know that life comes with celebrations that lift us up and challenges that somehow we need to get through. Help us to spend our energy on those things that truly will make a difference instead of wasting time and energy on those things that clutter our minds, hearts, and bodies. We know that the world will not get better without each of us making a choice to make it that way. We will not hide our heads in the sand, nor will we stand back and watch others do what we know we can do ourselves. We just ask that your Spirit lead, inspire, and strengthen us so that the gifts you have given us will never be squandered. Let your Spirit today birth something new in us as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now let's sing together our closing hymn, There's a Spirit in the Air.
God.